You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, when I was teaching a course in high school called American Literature, one of the pieces of required reading, and I'm sure you've went through this too, was the novel by Nathaniel Hawthorne entitled The Scarlet Letter. You might remember the plot of this poor unfortunate lady whose name was Hester Prynne. And it took place up in Massachusetts in the Puritan colony there, where they were very strict in their morality. And Hester Prynne was accused of adultery. And as a punishment, she was condemned by the elders of the community to wear a scarlet letter, A, on the front of her dress for the rest of her life, as a token of shame for this horrible crime or sin that she had committed. It is my students, first of all, were quite surprised that in American literature, something quite that racy would get into the curriculum. But once they understood the moral that was being taught and the utter hypocrisy of the people who accused her, wasn't whether she was innocent or guilty, they were just as guilty, and they acted so proper and not guilty. And so that's the same story that we had in today's gospel, by the way. But before I get into that, I'm going to have to go look up the etymology of the word adultery, because it certainly couldn't have anything to do with anything adult, at least in my judgment. In fact, when I drive up and down the highways, especially up where I live, a little north of here, it always amazes me when I see on the outside of a business an adult bookstore or adult entertainment. How could they possibly use that word for something so juvenile and childish? It just amazes me how that word is misused. But nevertheless, the story of today's gospel that John recounts, apparently a true story, shows you that this drama is played out over and over again. So 2,000 years ago, the identical same situation. Jesus is getting close to Jerusalem, going in and out kind of on a sneaky basis, and they were watching a chance to catch him. As John says quite clearly, they pulled this off to test him and to find some reason to trap Jesus. And so they got this poor, unfortunate lady, whose name we don't know, made her stand right there in the middle. It was almost like a little legal procedure going on. Should we or should we not inflict capital punishment by stoning, which is a rather unpleasant way to die, just as crucifixion is? And they were doing this to put Jesus to the test. And here is this poor innocent, I wouldn't say innocent, maybe she was guilty. Doesn't make any difference. But the whole situation was obviously stacked against her. She had no legal counsel. She had no ability to defend herself from these righteous elders who were accusing her. And there she was at the mercy of all this. And Jesus was put right in the center of the situation. And I just love how skillfully and deftly Jesus handled that. He didn't come right out and address anybody's guilt or innocence. But notice, not once, but twice, John says, that Jesus knelt down and started writing on the ground with his finger. And you know, for 2,000 years, scripture scholars have been arguing, what was Jesus writing on the ground? Well, it's quite obvious. Just think about it for a moment. I know what Jesus wrote down. He wrote down, does it not take two to tango? And the second time, when he wrote the second time, where is the other half of this crime that we're prosecuting here? And then, of course, they were ashamed and started slinking off one by one because it was quite plain whether or not the poor woman was guilty or innocent. They were just as guilty and hypocritical as anybody around. And so that led to this situation of mercy. Has no one condemned you? Then I won't either. Go and don't sin anymore. What a beautiful story. He got her out of a real serious predicament because she had no way of defending herself. And this is given to us on the fifth Sunday of Lent plainly because in just another week or week and a half, we're going to hear how Jesus himself was hauled into court, falsely accused, had no defense whatsoever. All his good friends deserted him for the most part, and he did not escape. He went to his execution. So that's why we have this scripture as we begin these last 2 weeks of Lent. Jesus was getting close to Jerusalem. He was almost there. He'd sneak into town, sneak back out at night. And I think whether or not you can come to Mass during the fifth week of Lent on weekdays, you need to get one of these missalettes and read the scriptures that the church uses for all of these weekdays leading up to Palm Sunday, a week from today. Because it just shows how they're setting a trap for Jesus. It's like, you know, we're setting you up. And Jesus seems to be walking right into it. And you want to almost holler out, Jesus, for God's sakes, get out of there before they get you. And Jesus, quite deliberately, knowing what was going to happen, walked right into Jerusalem, as we're going to celebrate a week from today. And he went to his execution because that was the will of his Father. So that's where we are at. Two more weeks of Lent, 1 week of while Jesus is being conspired against and the clouds are starting to gather, the noose is tightening, as they say, and then a week from today, we start the drama of his final week in this world. Before I stop, I want to mention that during this past week, I went up to the Diocese of Joliet with actually several members of this parish went along with me. And we did a presentation for people who are interested in criminal justice ministries, which is where I work in between when I'm here. And I told the people there in that evening that we celebrated together, I said, go to church next Sunday, that's today. And I says, and hear the gospel of the woman caught in adultery. Because those of us who work in prison ministry, every time we gather, we always read Matthew 25. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Which is fine, that's legitimate. But that's Jesus being the one in prison and being served. I said, read the story of the woman caught in adultery. That shows you a chaplain in action. That shows you where you're going to find yourself, and you get into these touchy situations in our own criminal justice system where you got to mediate very carefully between justice and mercy. And you realize that in so many cases, the accusers are just as guilty as the ones accused. And it's a very delicate situation and one that requires a great deal of skill. So I ask you to keep people who do those ministries in your prayers, but be aware of your own obligation to be signs of mercy in this world. We hear so much hateful talk about who's guilty and who needs to be punished, who needs to be stoned. We're all ready to handle it right here in church, you can see. And we need to be agents of forgiveness, agents of mercy. Not just where I work in the hardcore section of it, but in all the places where we are in between when we're in church. It's painful, because if you really take a stand for mercy, as Jesus did, you can pretty well expect to be rejected by your friends and acquaintances. People are always looking for a scapegoat, somebody to throw the blame on so that they can walk away feeling good. And it's a sobering thought to realize that just as Jesus walked into Jerusalem knowing what was going to happen to him, we who are baptized had better well expect to carry the cross along with him. So that's my thought for today as we prepare to get ready a week from today for Holy Week. Be prepared to walk all the way to the cross with Jesus so that you can rise with him and his resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.